Do you understand that?
Yes, I do.
To the motion, Mr. Chair?
I have a feeling that unless you say something, it's gone. So, I mean, that's not for certain, but I'm just saying it's this committee moves, they do. The phrase, how do you eat an elephant? They eat it with one gulp.
Right. And, I mean, instead of one small bite at a time.
It does. So Mr. Chair, it certainly doesn't offend the purpose of the bill, which is to...
No, I in that regard, I certainly have no position on that, because it certainly does not change at all the Department of Justice position on the bill.
Explain to the motion, Mr. Chair. As I said before, the expunction process has never made any sense. There are whole lots of things we can do to rehabilitate people that we think are rehabilitatable. It has nothing to do with any of that, in my view. It's simply saying we ought not engage in this fiction of pretending like a crime never happened when it did. And as a personal aside, that the times that I have been most uneasy about my work as a practicing lawyer have been when I've gone into court and had someone's criminal record expunged, and for all practical purposes, it is as if that crime never happened. And that's not right. It makes no sense. So that's the motion.
Well, Mr. Chairman, it seems to me that it also makes sense in view of sentencing guidelines.
Especially in view of sentencing guidelines.
And the way that they handle past offenses.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, a fundamental assumption of sentencing guidelines is that we want to know what somebody's criminal history is. And if we're going to get an accurate record of criminal history, it doesn't make sense to have a whole bunch of offenses be expunged.
I just want to make sure, would that also include under the juvenile section, totally eliminating any expunction under that?
One of the things I just thought we should.
I would not be in favor of eliminating the expunction option for someone who committed an offense as a juvenile.
I am.
See, here we are. Now.
I'll amend my motion along those lines.
That's the thing. We're moving so quickly. I mean, I have to admit, I understand your intent, but yes, Kelly.
Chair, members of the committee, you'll note that on page 4 of the printed bill, section 2 was a different section of the ORS citation. So actually, Representative Clark's motion and the way that he did it in the amendment, what he's doing, I think would only get you, you can in fact deal with the issue in two parts because of the way that the bill is drafted and put together. The adult section and the juvenile section are dealt separately, and the motion can apply to both, but in the way that he did it, I think the section that he's repealing, if the motion passed, it would leave the issue of juvenile expunction separate, and the committee can deal with that issue separately.
And where does it begin?
It's page 4 at the top.
So his motion speaks. Kelly, you want to phrase your motion?
Well.
His motion only wipes that everything to the bottom of page 3.
But the intent of my motion is to repeal ORS 137.225. It's my understanding from counsel that there is a separate statutory provision relating to expunction of records for criminal offenses committed when one was a minor.
That's correct.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
My motion, and I would invite folks to go with me on this motion if they're in philosophical support with what I'm doing, and then turn around and make another motion if they want to do that. But my motion simply applies to the adult expunction process.
Well, it may be premature. I will be prepared to do the same action on 419.800 also when the time comes. Take care of section 1 first. Let's do that first.
Well,
you want some oxygen?
No, I'm fine.
I'm fine. A cigarette? Cigarette.
I've been here before. Further discussion?
It has nothing to do with marijuana.
Is there objection?
Well, thank you for that.
Is there objection to the motion? Hearing none?
I'm fine.
This is going to be fun before it's over. Representative Clara, you said you want to make one before I move into another bill?
Well, yeah.
I
want to make a comparable motion to for section 2 relating to 419.800.
Okay, does everybody understand the motion made by Representative Kalari?
Except
I want to be sure we're clean now, because I don't want to. Deborah, you can jump in any time, because.
It would have to be a broader motion, and only in the sense that you've got more OIRS statutes that are affected by that deal with juvenile expunction of juvenile records. It's a much broader section. You want the citation numbers?
Why don't we make it conceptual?
You want to make it? You want to
make? Okay, that's fine.
Sir Rip,
section two.
Now, your conceptual motion is, or Attorney Counsel, let me understand.
He wants to repeal juvenile court expunction procedures. So to prohibit all expunction of all juvenile court records.
I don't know. Representative Clark.
To the motion. I think I am opposed to it, and I'll tell you why. It has to do with what we've said, when we have said someone can make legally, there's a legal presumption that for all kinds of purposes in the law, you're not making, you're not fully competent until you're an adult. And I think I buy that. And so I think I'm going to oppose the motion.
Yeah, we didn't mean to ignore you at 10 o'clock. I'm sorry. It's called, you know what we're doing.
Sure
here, so don't take it personally. I've asked him, I'm going to try something here. As the bill was written, it spoke to prohibiting the expunction of juvenile offenses involving child abuse. Representative Clark, Representative Edmondson.
Yes, Representative.
So what I suggest is that as the bill was introduced and written and came off the Senate floor, Deborah, it talked about prohibiting the expunction of juvenile offenses involving child abuse. And I've suggested, Representative Calori, that he let his motion speak to that, support that. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Narrow to that, and I think that would be a better motion. Now, I'm not trying to tell him what to do, but I've suggested, Representative Clark, what do you think about that?
Well, what I think about that is I'd rather not do that.
Well, okay.
But maybe next time we will clean up the juvenile justice system.
Well, that's a good point. That's a good point.
So what are you saying?
So I'm saying I will take your suggestion in the interest of hoping that this passes through all chambers and the middle office.
Okay. Representative Calori has put a motion on our floor here that prohibits the expunction of juvenile offenses involving child abuse, and his motion.
That's what this does.
So
you're just leaving section two.
Section two, right. So we don't have to even speak. No. We don't
That's
even have
right.
to do that.
He has to withdraw his motion.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
It's already done.
Okay. I'm sorry I got confused. All right. Now we go to the bill. And I would say that Representative Clark and Representative Calori move the bill, Senate Bill 404, as amended to the full committee due pass. Is that correct motion? Have I phrased that right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody listen? Mm-hmm. Deborah, you know what we're doing, I'm not trying to, you're obviously going to have to talk to somebody.
No more expunction for adults and for the juveniles. We will limit expunction of those child abuse crimes that are listed in Section
right.
2.
Okay. Is there discussion on the motion? With the, I assume the other two individuals know what we're doing. Would you please call the roll on that, please?
Representative Calori?
Aye.
Clark?
Aye.
Edmondson?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Bennett?
Aye.
Chairport?
Yes.
Carrier.
How about that?
Woo!
Ooh.
Carrier.
Right.
Well,
one.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to let Clark and Calori talk about it.
There's going to be lots of questions on the floor.
Oh, it's
going to
be fun.
And
this is going to be fun, folks.
I'll
this one is
bill.
Really going to, this is going to be a show.
Okay, what do you want to do next?
I think we should go, why don't we go to 479? I mean, huh?
I'd like to do that because I got to go. I'd like to move into
work. And let's, can I get Senator Cohen to come over? Could you get Senator Cohen, please? Because she's never testified on the bill.
Well, I got an amendment. I'd like to go into work session on the bill.
Well, I'd like to have her over here because I'm saying that. Like she feels strongly. She, would someone get Senator Cohen? I'm not trying to play games, but she felt strongly.
She didn't talk to me. What are you talking about?
She was
strong.
She didn't talk to you?
She didn't talk to you
either. I mean, she tells me that she likes you.
She likes me. She didn't talk to you about this.
Well, she likes you.
Depends on how.
How can that?
What do you mean by like?
Where are you going now?
I gotta go.
Well, go. All right.
I was prepared to move his thing, but I just.
I need a vote on my amendment.
I know you. We just did something big here. You missed out on big.
It was a Clark attack.
I heard it over the TV.
You didn't like it?
That's why he stayed away till the
Cowboys.
No, I meant network news.
They interrupted regular programming for this sudden bulletin.
I've been apprised of the news.
The Arkansas Razorback. Showed his Razorback.
What's going on
there? I'm proud to see that the committee could continue.
No, we're going to do it because I want to get the bill out of the way. If we get into another bill, then it's another light years before we get back. So,
Mr. Chairman, when you're competing for airtime against Freddie Webb, you got
to. Yeah, Freddie Petite Webb.
That's right.
Thank you for walking in front of us and leaving us to go away to your 3-day weekend while others are left to make public policy that affects the public's concerns. I just want to give them a hard time. What's that? No. Folks, we're going to do 479 when Senator Cohen comes in, and then I'm going to. I want to go to the tobacco bill. 2741.
We need a reputation on this one.
Then I'm going to do 275.
275, it should be relatively quick.
Well, but I want to tell everybody in the audience so they know what we're doing. So if they want to go walk or leave us, whatever. Then I'm going to do 3501. And I'll close out today with 562. So I don't know where everybody in the audience is from, but you may want to just leave us because. That's where it is, folks, or at least leave us for a while. Does everybody get the schedule?
You repeat that, Mr. Chairman.
All right, we're going to do 479 now. Then we're going to 2741. Then we're going to 3501. After 2741, and then we're going to 3501, and then we're going to close on 562. So I don't know where everybody is, but I don't like to frustrate the people in the audience. Is she coming? She better get here soon. We'll have to come get you, Corey. That way you don't have to wait, Corey. Okay. Well, you may have to wait, but you have to wait here.
I told them if I was last, so I was right. They called her.
Where's Calhoun? He's going to have to vote on this bill up or down because.
Call Calhoun's office. Call Calhoun's office.
I don't care.
Chairman.
I'm straight. Yes, Representative.
This is very ironic. I've been over the Senate Judiciary Committee 3 times on one bill and sat for lots of time. And here we are holding the committee for the Senate.
There's no doubt that you can beat me up on that. I'm just trying to accommodate a request made. I always try to accommodate people. I was asked.
I'm just trying to show a little disparity here.
Well, I know you'd like me to show some discrimination or disparity or unequal treatment.
Equal treatment, yeah.
Temerity. Turbidity.
I'm going to review. I'm not going to wait. You know, I'm going to let you have your say. Like don't worry about it. You just do what we do. I mean, you know me. I'm straight. We don't. You just saw Soapworm, RoboCop. You know, I'm getting. This is. You've never been on a committee like this, and you never will. John, you will miss me.
What do you mean?
Projecting. It's a few months down the road.
They're both getting on for governor?
Did you tell Tim what you wanted to add to Brandon Bill? I'm sorry you didn't do it.
Chair?
What?
We have a work session?
Wait a minute. Yes, we are, but I've...
House Bill 479?
Yes, but we're not there quite yet. We're waiting. You have the copy. You got to make an amendment. Is this your... You two going to make the amendment?
I want to move this. So I got an amendment to move here.
Is this the same amendment? You get copies of that? Because I want to have one up for Cohen. Take one, please. If she doesn't get here, I am going to be upset. Up the witness stand. John's got. What do you mean when I don't say? What do you mean?
Pass them. Pass them. What do you mean?
There's already a bunch of them down here. What do we need to pass?
I need a cap.
I don't rule for any of this. The rules are all the
where he was going to.
Now, come on. That's not fair. That is part of that. We both took it over.
Yeah, that's right.
Come on.
Right.
Not fair to me.
this if you had the guts to show up?
Where?
Hey. I don't know. I think we're being a little too tough on crime myself.
Do you?
You guys are a bunch of maniacs, I tell you.
This gets out. This is going to ruin a lot of rides. This is going to ruin a lot of...
No, but the speaker will be here soon.
That's right.
The ACLU will nuke us.
That's right. This is going to... Let the record note I was absent.
We are in serious trouble.
Is it unanimous?
Yeah.
Well...
Well, you want to vote? I'll go back and record. You vote against it.
I hate to hold up a process, Mr. Chairman. I'll wait and see you. I'll wait and read the press response between now and full judicial.
Well, I'm getting a little upset.
Let's just move on.
I understand. I had hoped that the parties could get together on this. Well, the parties didn't get together. That is, they just can't work it out. So I think it's time to vote this bill up or down. Now, I understand, I know I'm going to get hit with an amendment, and the amendment is what?
It's right in front of you. There you go.
Okay, who's going to talk to the amendment? I understand. Who's going to talk to this amendment?
I will talk to this.
Speak.
We also have some minor technical amendments.
Everybody ready?
Yes, that's fine, but I...
Chairman, members of the committee, my concern with this bill, 479, has all along been the issue of whether or not a police officer would have the discretion to terminate the contact should the contact appear as though it's becoming violent. And the amendment that's been offered, which is handwritten, says that a peace officer who is required to accompany a party in removing essential personal effects under this act shall have the authority to terminate the contact at any point where the police officer determines that the continued presence of the party and the police officer is likely to result in violence. Now, the purpose of the amendment is to stop a potential situation that is appearing as though it's going to become violent. It's not to cause the officer not to have to make an arrest under the domestic violence statutes, but to allow the officer the discretion and the ability to say this thing is getting ugly and it's time to separate the two people and keep them apart. And in fact, it may be in the officer's discretion to say it's time to leave.
Cohen.
Hey.
Here we go. I don't mean to jump you into it, Senator Cohen, but there has been an amendment just read into the record by Representative Minnis, and I decide the moment of truth has come for this bill, and I know we're just dumping this amendment on you, Senator Cohen. I'm sorry about that, but it's handwritten. Do you have it in front of you? They do, both of you? Okay.
Give me 30 seconds
to
read it here.
Excuse me. Now, as I understand the concern of Representative Minnis, and I know Representative Bryan, I believe, also has the concern because he talked to me today on the floor,
okay,
correct?
I'm ready, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
It's taken us a long time to fight the fight to get the police officers to do their duty with respect to violence and stopping domestic violence. For a long period of time, we had the fact that we had in the Oregon statutes in 1979, and until 81, and maybe even 83, that in fact you had to ask the person who called whether the individual who was the alleged perpetrator should be arrested. And we fought that battle for 4 years because the individual who had just been beaten up and tried to get a restraining order called out on domestic violence is probably not about to say yes when the police person asks them directly, do I have your permission to arrest this individual who happens to be your husband that you're going to actually go back to, you got kids from, you're going to have to develop a relationship. And so we changed that statute in, I think, 81, that said when you come to a domestic violence situation, and the statistics are very well known that most... there is more deaths at the result of this kind of violence in around the country than a whole lot of, probably even than drug deaths, drug to drug sellers to abusers.
So we know that this is not just fun and games that goes on there. People get hurt. And, in fact, you can't put the victim in a position of ordering, of making a decision to order the arrest. And I do believe that it's my sense of the amendment here that it does undercut that effort that we've been tried to make for all these years, and, in fact, that the police agencies have managed to work with over the years. We have, in fact, found an increasing evidence in the last even few months of increased violence and then we came to the second stage, which says authorizing a temporary restraining order. And that took a long time to get the judges to allow the restraining order to work. And there are judges out there who still don't like them. They want to have a full-blown hearing. They want to check it out. There's all sorts of allegations about child absconding with a child under those circumstances, et cetera. But the fact is, when you have serious violence, you need to have restraining orders, and you need to be able to do that. You're finding now, we had testimony, and I don't know if you had testimony from the Klamath Crisis Center, and if you have, stop me. That in Klamath Crisis Center, it has over 2,000 domestic violent client contacts annually. In almost 10 years of their existence, this number has increased steadily. In 1988, we assisted 273 victims of domestic violence fill out restraining orders. In the first 6 weeks of 89, we have assisted in filling out 47 restraining orders. Most of half of these victims had trouble leaving with their personal effects or trouble, even violence occurring when returning after filing a restraining order to pick up their belongings or their children's belongings. And what 479 does is clarify, and we had testimony over on our side from the police agencies who said, we really do this already. We go out and assist people who, if we have time and when we have time. And it's my position to you that 479, as it comes to you, gives some real clear guidelines and assistance to the police officers when they're asked to do that. They have to be, as it's presented to you in 479 as it stands, it's very narrow, the kind of things that we're asking people to go after collect. It's not a search to go search the house and take out TV or VCRs that belong to the other party. It's very narrow, and the judge makes that decision on what kind of items that person is allowed to get. So I believe the 479, as it comes to you, in fact, helps the police agencies by having it very narrow and ordered by the judge what they are to pick up, and so that clarifies the role that the police agencies are not asked to go collect property, to assist in collecting property that doesn't belong to the individual, or that they may extend that role. So I think that what we're doing here is assisting those agencies who are now making the effort to respond to violent and difficult domestic situations that have, in fact, have a restraining order, to set the guidelines so they know where they stand and they know what's expected of them, and the individual client who has the restraining order or who's going to back to collect personal belongings also understands that he or she is not allowed to go beyond what the judge's order provides for you in 479. So I would submit to you that this is assistance. We made amendments in our side based on working with Sheriff Burks, who represents the sheriffs, and I called, had an opportunity to call our local police, city police, and most of my members, well, in fact, all but one of my members, actually, we gave them time to go back and call their respective law enforcement agencies with the amended bill as it comes to you, and we found no objections from our committee members on this bill as it comes to you. So I would suggest to you, I would resist strenuously the amendments being offered, Section 3, page 9, line 7. That insertion, I think, undercuts. And, in fact, we have, if we're going to run around and apprehend people who are shooting themselves over drugs and shooting themselves over gangs, and we're going to give all the authority to stop and search and whatever for police, then I think we need to make sure that they understand that they continue their authority in terms of protecting people in domestic violence situations. I don't have any doubt that it's very
uncomfortable for law enforcement people. They are very volatile, dangerous situations out there. But that doesn't mean that it's any less dangerous or less volatile from the victims or the person who is involved in this one side or the other. So I would I'd ask you respectfully to pass 479 without the amendment that's being offered.
Representative Bryan. Senator Cohen, what does the proposed amendment say to you? I mean, you've given us a good background on how we got to this point in 89 and so forth, and the other purposes of the bill, which I support. But what does this amendment specifically say to you that you object to?
Well, I'd have to read the entire statute to find out which Section 3 and where particularly, whether it pertains to the entire temporary, family violence statute. To be added at the end, then it certainly would pertain to the entire statute, and that to me indicates that a police officer can actually terminate the contact, meaning that he wouldn't have to follow through and make that original arrest if there was a scene of violence that erupted in the circumstances of going out there to assist people to collect their belongings. You know, admittedly, I'm just sort of dropping into this
and I don't
see how they
understand that.
Relates very well.
My thought, now this was the first time I've read the amendment. I've been wrestling with how to get at this, and I don't know if this is the perfect language, but.
Mr. Chair, could I ask what you're trying to get at?
Yeah. I'll tell you what I think this amendment means. It means that when an officer has accompanied a party to their residence or former residence, and as the party being accompanied begins to gather their property, they'll be doing a certain amount of effort to make sure that the party, that there's no violence or damage to either party or injury. However, if there is contact between the party and someone else there, and it begins to get ugly, let me use that expression, slang as it is, try to get things calm again, but at some point where it looks like there's an imminent fear of some violence, it only makes sense to me that the officer would, like in a normal family beef response, try to separate the parties and leave the residence with. Now, obviously, if an act is committed, a criminal act is committed in their presence, someone does assault or attack,
I guess I'll try to respond one way, and then I'll turn it over to Terry. These people already have a temporary restraining order. You're not going to go there unless there is this temporary restraining order in place. You're not
correct.
Kind of walking up to whatever. So
I understand.
So that you have a temporary restraining order in force, which the police officer has.
Okay, but then an argument starts getting more and more heated, and gets to a point where the parties are going to go at each other again. Doesn't the officer have a responsibility to do something in a preventive way, just like when he responds to a family fight circumstance? He's not supposed to stand there, wait till it gets to arrest proportions, and then arrest somebody. They try to separate
the parties. Terminating the contact means leaving.
Yes, absolutely, which is standard procedure when you go to a family fight circumstance. First thing you try to do is get the parties separated.
Mr. Chair, I guess the key question is, as I read the amendments, talking about the police officer and the party leaving.
Yeah, that's what
That's what our impression is.
Mr. Chair, this is not the objection. Terry Rogers, for the record, from Legal Aid, representing the Oregon Coalition Against Domestic and Sexual Violence. Our objection here is that this individual has a temporary restraining order, which the actions being described in Representative Minnis's amendment, essentially violates. If the person is likely to become violent, then the person is already interfering with the petitioner in terms of violating the temporary restraining order. But more important, one more concept. In the whole domestic violence situation, if when the abuser begins to get menacing or harassing, all of these things requiring arrest under our law, particularly in this situation where there's a temporary restraining order, it is the duty
of the law enforcement officer to arrest. Otherwise, we are saying, as a social policy, we approve, we're going to leave you alone, and we're going to take the victim out of this situation. I feel that by leaving the bill alone in the form that has come to you from the Senate, we are not changing the law in any way in terms of mandatory arrest or the practice out there. The problem here is that this language proposed by Representative Minnis will definitely undercut the mandatory arrest law. And what we want to do is go ahead with this bill and and leave the I can't deal with the practice
or change. I want to interrupt. Terry, where does this amendment supersede ORS 133055 in the mandatory arrest statute? How does it do that? Because it does nothing, as far as I can tell, to rescind anything in that statute that indicates when there's probable cause to make an arrest for either harassment or assault, that the officer would not have to make that arrest.
We can certainly clarify that.
One second.
Okay.
Do you have a response, Terry, or I'm going to go to the other? I'm trying to set it.
We feel that the language of the amendment and the proposed amendment and 133055 sub 2 are inconsistent. When a peace officer is at the scene of a domestic disturbance, which this one has become by definition in Representative Minnis's language, and has probable cause to believe an assault has occurred, et cetera, or to believe that one person has placed the other in fear of imminent serious physical injury, the officer shall arrest. And when we're talking about terminating under these circumstances, especially with a TRO.